It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
You're listening to Fox News Radio. I'm Ben Domenech. Obviously, the biggest news coming out of Washington in the past week is the announcement from longtime Senate GOP leader Mitch McConnell that he will be stepping down in November. This is something that has been coming for a long time. He's the longest-serving GOP leader in history. He's been at the head of the Republicans in the Senate for 17 years. And his choice to exit was inevitably going to come at some point. Announcing it this early allows him to escape many of the questions about how he'd potentially work with President Trump in the future, should Donald Trump return to the White House. Obviously, McConnell doesn't want to have to play pretend, and after his bout with recent health issues, he also eliminates the ability for Democrats to play games of comparison around Joe Biden's age and enfeebled nature. It's going out in a time of his own choosing. In sports, business, and politics, that's a rare thing to accomplish. McConnell's legacy will be debated in the coming months and years, but it's impossible to comprehend how much he has been the deciding factor in the direction of the Republican Party for the past two decades. The impact he had on the judiciary is unmatched in the history of the country. The way he ruled the Senate, criticized by many, also charted the path for legislation from the top down. But he also should be appreciated as perhaps the last fusionist leader, grounded in the era of Ronald Reagan. Elected to the Senate at the young age of 42 in the Reagan Morning in America curb stomping of Walter Mondale in 1984, Mitch McConnell toppled the incumbent Democrat senator to win his first Senate election by about 5,000 votes. It was the closest race of the cycle, the only GOP Senate flip that you saw in 1984. McConnell would truly start to make his mark on the body as a political operator more than a decade later when he took over the NRSC, obviously leading it and climbing the ranks of leadership. McConnell's relationship with donors was a powerful weapon. He used it to try and shape the character of the body with meandering success and, in the Tea Party era, notable failures. Yet not so when it came to actually running the Senate how he pleased. His capabilities were rarely matched in that score. It's not wrong to think of him as a stubborn Bill Belichick, hated when you were coaching across the field from him, but also hated for how often he was good at that. Question now becomes, who will replace someone this significant? And what does the Senate want out of its next leader? Given that this decision will come in the wake of the November election, much of this has to do with how close the Senate wants to be in terms of their relationship with Donald Trump, should he be the next president, who may very well be back in the White House. The Senate has a stronger representation of pro-Trump figures than it did in 2016, but they're still not a majority of the conference. In fact, as one pro-Trump senator told me, a secret ballot would probably still find a majority opposed to Trump's renomination. But they do have to work with him, and they want to have a meaningful impact on the policy decisions to serve the interests of multiple senators. There's also the generational issue. Going from an 82-year-old to someone in their 70s, such as Texas's John Cornyn or John Barrasso of Wyoming, may not be a significant enough step for the younger crew. While John Thune has to be considered the frontrunner at this point, there are several other options, including Montana's Steve Daines, currently at the NRSC, or Florida's Rick Scott, who was backed by some in a protest vote against McConnell last year. There's also always the possibility that someone like Marco Rubio wants to finally take the reins. For my money, though, the dark horse who may emerge is making the most sense is Tom Cotton of Arkansas. He's not yet 50, gets along well with multiple factions, has navigated his relationship with Trump carefully. He also voted along with 28 other GOP senators against the recent Ukraine aid bill, despite his reputation for hawkishness. Whether the old hands of the Senate GOP are comfortable with him as their leader, though, is another question entirely. When generational shifts happen, they can happen quite suddenly, and Washington has been waiting on such a shift for a very long time.
More of the Ben Domenech podcast right after this.
This is Jimmy Failla, inviting you to join me for Fox Across America, where we'll discuss every single one of the Democrats' dumb ideas. Just kidding. It's only a three-hour show. Listen live at noon Eastern or get the podcast at foxacrossamerica.com.
Looking back at McConnell's approach and the way that he went about doing the business of the Senate, one has to get the perspective of someone who has patience and an attitude toward longevity that really is unheard of in today's Washington. So many of the people who are in the business of politics today simply want to make the next mark. They simply think about things in terms of what can go viral tomorrow. They want to have that interview moment, have that memeable incident that goes everywhere and can get them a lot of play, get them a lot of small donors, for instance. And that's something that I think is really at odds with the approach that McConnell had. Personally, I found him to be often frustrating, someone who really refused to let the Senate work the way that it ought to be. He's someone who, frankly, did not want to go along with the populist wave that we saw with the Tea Party that made such a huge difference in terms of leading us into this next generation of conservatism. But he's also someone who I think we have to respect. He's a man with a significant legacy, born from before the Trump times, of maintaining a position just to the right of the center of what was achievable. He owned the judicial battles. He was stubborn. He was intransigent. He hated the reform-minded members of his coalition equally, whether they came from the right or the left. And he has, as his greatest legacy, a reworking of the judiciary that will last for a generation.
This nomination ought to be made by the president we're in the process of electing this year.
And you are convinced, briefly, you are convinced that your Republican senators who are in tough races in November won't pay a political price for it, regardless of the history?
There's a lot of interest on both sides of this issue. The right of center world does not want this vacancy filled by this president. And even though, if you want to discuss the nominee just for a minute, even though Barack Obama calls him a moderate, he's opposed by the NRA. He's opposed by the National Federation of Independent Business, which had never taken a position on a Supreme Court nominee before. The New York Times said it would move the court dramatically to the left. But this is not about this particular judge. This is about who should make the appointment. We're in the process of picking a president, and that new president ought to make this appointment, which will affect the Supreme Court maybe for the next quarter of a century.
Speaking of a new president, if Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders were to win the presidency, is there any chance that Republicans would vote to confirm Merrick Garland during a lame duck session of Congress?
I can't imagine that a Republican majority Congress in a lame duck session after the American people have spoken would want to confirm a nominee opposed by the NRA, the NFIB, and the New York Times says would move the court dramatically to the left.
Senator,
this nomination ought to be made by the next president.
So just to put a button on this, are you ruling it out 100%?
Yes.
You can hate Mitch McConnell, but you can't help but respect him. Unless, of course, you're Donald Trump. Then you just hate him and blame him for all your failings. And this will factor in to a great degree into the next choice of the Senate as it regards their leadership. Who will stand for it? What will they promise? They have until November to figure this out. But for the time being, the elements at play are all guiding towards someone who's probably going to be a lot less significant in the scheme of politics than Mitch McConnell was to his party and to the nation.
I turned 82 last week. The end of my contributions are closer than I'd prefer. My career in the United States Senate began amidst the Reagan Revolution. The truth is, when I got here, I was just happy if anybody remembered my name. President Reagan called me Mitch O'Donnell. Close enough, I thought. My wife Elaine and I got married on President Reagan's birthday, February 6th. It's probably not the most romantic thing to admit, but Reagan meant a lot to both of us. For 31 years, Elaine has been the love of my life, and I'm eternally grateful to have her by my side. I think back to my first days in the Senate with deep appreciation for the time that helped shape my view of the world. I'm unconflicted about the good within our country and the irreplaceable role we play as the leader of the free world. It's why I worked so hard to get the national security package passed earlier this month. Believe me, I know the politics within my party at this particular moment in time. I have many faults. Misunderstanding politics is not one of them. That said, I believe more strongly than ever that America's global leadership is essential to preserving the shining city on a hill that Ronald Reagan discussed. So to my colleagues, thank you for entrusting me with our success. It's been an honor to work with each of you. There'll be plenty of time to express my gratitude in greater detail as I sprint towards the finish line, which is now in sight. I yield the floor.
I'm Ben Domenech. You've been listening to Fox News Radio. We'll be back soon with more to dive back into the fray.
Listen ad-free with a Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts. And Amazon Prime members can listen to this show ad-free on the Amazon Music app.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network. Subscribe and listen to the Trey Gowdy Podcast. Former federal prosecutor and four-term U.S. congressman from South Carolina brings you a one-of-a-kind podcast. Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.